this is what you're fighting for. I mean, every day you're out there.
What they're doing is blowing people off.
If you continue to look the other way and shut up, then the oppressors, the authoritarians, get total control and total power. Because this is just like in Arizona, this is just like in Georgia. It's another element that backs them into a corner and shows their lies and misrepresentations.
This is why this audience is going to have to get engaged. As we've told you, this is the fight.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room, Battleground. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
And the Democrats know that when we don't all stand together with our razor-thin majority, then they have a better negotiation position. And that's why we got some of the things we didn't like. Now, we fought like warrior poets to keep some of those Senate appropriations or some of those Senate earmarks out of the bill. And we were successful in getting a lot of the terrible stuff out. But a few of them made it through, and that's what Marge is upset about, and I am too. But I want to talk with her about reforming the budgeting and spending process going forward. That's what Republicans are for. That's the transformational kind of changes that we can forge if we all stand together.
I don't even know where to start with Polly Pockets. He takes one of the great stories of the West, one of the great stories of fighting for freedom, and it just so happens we have Peter McIlvenna is joining us later to talk about Scotland, great Scotland, the creator of the modern world, a nation that always punched well above their weight and had no love for the English, right? And take not on top of that, one of the great films, great epic films about freedom. Of course, William Wallace, the story is Braveheart, Mel Gibson directed, starred. I've seen the film 100 times, as many of you I'm sure have. He takes, because remember at the end, when Robert the Bruce has actually, he's dead, he's been killed. Robert the Bruce actually wins Scotland their freedom. They had that very thing coming from the battlefield, the sword, and it hits down, and William Wallace's voice talks about how they carried the day that day, because you don't really see the battle, and said they fought like warrior poets. It's an incredibly powerful ending to one of the most powerful films ever made about fighting for freedom. And Polly Pockets, Mike Johnson, takes that actually in an interview with another beauty, Trey Gowdy, of Benghazi fame or infamy, and says, we fought like warrior poets for these for the earmarks. Dude, I was fighting earmarks when you were in short pants. Excuse me. I was fighting against earmarks when you were doing some great work down there in Louisiana with fighting for social conservative causes as a lawyer, right? Because you were doing great work there. You might have actually still been in law school, but I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. The earmarks, you're gaslighting people. The earmarks is a gateway drug to more spending, but we're so far beyond that. Even War Room didn't put up a big fight on the earmarks. So people would come to me and I said, look, it's not that earmarks roll up to billions of dollars. Yes, but we're talking about a $2 trillion deficit open. He didn't close the border. He didn't fight for the border. It's such an insult on so many levels. But more disturbing in his mind, Polly Pockets may think that he is William Wallace. He may think that he actually, by getting a couple of earmarks out from the Senate, that's a win. That's not a win. That's a glancing, maybe tiny blow. You gave up all your leverage to secure both. Now, here's where it gets worse, and here's where we're going to bring the story up to its current state. He has committed in that interview and others over the weekend that the very first thing with the world on fire, invasion of the southern border going unabated, flying more people in here, the deficit keeps going because they don't hit the tax number, getting bigger and bigger day by day. With all of this going on, and now the situation in Gaza only getting worse, The Israelis striking into Syria, taking out Persian military commanders. You might wonder if you're at home and not keeping close watch, what are the Persians doing in Syria, what are the Persians doing in Lebanon, what are the Persians doing in Yemen, what are the Persian-backed militias launching rockets at our carrier battle groups. Oh, yes, our carrier battle groups, that they're defending the European Suez Canal. Okay. On all of this, oh, yeah, and the Chinese now, and our China Watch team is saying, hey, Steve, they're really looking like there could be moving to some military action. Something's going on there, right, in the South China Sea and the Straits of Tiberian. With the world on fire, financially, capital markets, debt increases, invasion of the southern border increases day by day with no stop because he didn't stop it. He didn't use his leverage. No, he can't stop it by himself, but use his leverage and force Biden to the table, cut his illegitimate regime off for money, cut it off. Number one priority. The number one priority is the Ukraine fund. He's going to put it on the dock as soon as he gets back. First thing, got to get that $60 billion Ukraine. Must do it. Got to get it. Even Don Bacon. Dim Don Bacon, maybe the dimmest Don, actually said, blurted out, yeah, it could put his speakership in jeopardy. But he talks about wins. Okay, because like here, you know, in the budget, oh, wins. We got some wins. We got a couple $1 billion out of IRS thing. We got a win here. They got more ice beds. They have more ice beds. That's very important. More ice beds. Nobody's ever deported, but they have more ice beds. And we fought like warrior poets, and we got some earmarks that we got a couple of libraries removed or a post office removed or all this other crap they put in there. They didn't take any LGBT centers, bro. Warrior poet. Hey, warrior poet, Polly Pockets, you didn't take any LGBTQ centers. Okay, notice none of that left. But he's going to get us some wins. We're going to get some wins on Ukraine. We're going to get some wins in Ukraine. Now, interestingly enough, they're not even talking about putting lipstick on the pig like they were before, because before they're going to give us some performative things on the border, to make sure that you at home or the Fox talking points could go, just like Fox did the talking points on the greatest bill ever coming out of the Senate, the one's going to shut down the border. All lies, misrepresentation, total, complete Murdoch-fueled lies. They're not even talking about that now. They're not even skipping over that. He's got a win, though. Here's the win. Wait for it. You got to wait for this win. Here's the win in today's Politico. And Politico actually asked the question. I think it's Meredith McGraw, quite a good reporter. She asked the question, is this sellable to the hard right? You're at the home of the hard right here, the broadcasting network for the ultra MAGA. Here's the win. It's the LNG. It's to get LNG exports to Germany to cut off need for Russia and hurt Russia's economy. And so we, the American people, are not at war with the Russian people. It's another economic warfare thing against the Russian people. But even worse, the LNG, because they'll get the port. And where's that port? Where's it all come out of? Let me see. Hang on. Does it come out of Illinois? No. Does it come out of Kentucky? No. Does it come out of Colorado? No. Does it come out of Wyoming? No. Oh, Louisiana. Louisiana. I'm not making this up. And they think to here's the win. Here's the win, according to Politico, of what they're testing right now. The win is, it's a win for the conservatives against climate change. It's a win against climate change because we're shipping liquefied natural gas from Louisiana or from Louisiana ports or the railheads down there. They're creating some good jobs. And I love LNG. I love natural gas. I love me some great jobs in Louisiana. But come on, Polly Pockets, be a warrior poet. Don't be a Polly Pockets. Are you kidding me? How dumb do you think we are? You're going to give money to, you're going to give with, we had just a $1 trillion budget you just approved a week ago. We have a $2 trillion deficit. The world's on fire. Bloomberg lead story just did 1 million runs on a computer, 1 million runs, perturbations. Different, that means different assumptions. The computer, put it in Mr. Computer. On the debt as we have it now, Johnson, with the budget you approved, Biden's spending you approved. Don't blame it on McCarthy. Don't blame it on Biden. Blame it on yourself because you didn't have to approve it. You could have fought like a warrior poet. not taking out a library somewhere, not taking out a post office, and it's all good. If you're going to save a couple million bucks, going to save $1 billion, I'm all for it. But not when you're adding $1 trillion every 100 days, bro. And you're going to sit there, your number one priority is money to Ukraine. Oh, and they tell me, well, Steve, you got to back off. You got to go easy on Johnson. He's getting all these briefings. He's getting, you know, from all these geniuses on House Intel and getting all these things. And he's very concerned about terrorist attacks. He's very concerned about Russia. Yeah, we're concerned about all that, too. We're concerned about that all, too. But Ron Paul's got up a great piece. Ron Paul wrote, hey, the Senate just passed a resolution that said that out of control spending leading to this deficit is the principal, is the number one national security issue we face. Hello. Where have you heard that before? It gets worse. As bad as that sound, it gets worse. He's going to try to sell us. Not even going to touch the border. Border security is out. Now they think you're so stupid, right? I think they think you ran out of lead in your number two principal. So you're not taking notes. You can't keep up. That they're just going to sell what his cronies, what his backers in Louisiana. And listen, I love natural gas. I love LNG. I'd like to ship it. I told the Germans years ago in the White House, you got to get off the Russian gas. If you really want to be independent, you got to take this LNG, this liquid natural gas we got here from the good old United States of America. I love it. I love high paying jobs in Louisiana. But come on, dude. You're going to try to sell it as a climate change win, and for the cronies you've got, your funders, your donors down in Louisiana, will you please stop? Just treat us, the Democrats treat us with more respect than this. How dumb do you think we are? Now, it gets worse. It gets a lot worse. And our international editor, stationed in Rome, is here to tell us why, who's our window on all things Ukraine and through the European media. In his contacts, Ben, it gets a lot worse. First off, tell me about the financial. First off, it's not about our money or arms. That's all a joke. It's about they don't have 500,000. They don't have 500,000 troops. No kids, no young people want to go and volunteer. They have no manpower because moms and dads in Ukraine understand something. The war's over, and I'm not going to send my kid. This is like being in Vietnam, sending your kid or having your kid get drafted in Vietnam or volunteer to go over it in the last couple of years of the Vietnam War, right? When everybody decided, hey, we lost this thing. How the hell do we get out of here? Ben, tell me how much worse it is than even is being portrayed in American media, sir.
Steve, well, I've got a stormer for you today. But first, I just need to get back slightly to what you were saying about Mike Braveheart Johnson. Because, you know, you're absolutely right, I think, to warn the warring posse about we're going to be sold out. And so, therefore, we need to be on alert to look at the performative fob-offs that they think we're going to be distracted by as they're selling us out. You know, the shiny toys. But having a look at these things, they're not particularly shiny. But of course, they're very performative. And I'm reminded of the expression that you can't polish a turd, which has an excellent rejoinder to it. No, but you can roll it around in glitter. And that's what I think the GOP leadership are trying to do right now. They've got this big turd in their hands, thanks in part to the GOP caucus in the Senate. They've got this big turd in their hands and they're saying, how can we roll this turd around in glitter and present it to MAGA as we're moving up towards November and the elections? They are on a hiding to nothing on this. Now, so here's the story, right? Here's the story from Ukraine. I saw this, so this is Reuters. I saw this, I literally couldn't believe it. President Zelensky has submitted his tax returns for 2022. And I'm sorry for smiling because the story is actually serious. Now, obviously, these figures are all fake anyway, right? He's declared a fourfold increase. You know, so what I mean by saying that these figures are fake, the actual reality, right? the actual reality that the stuffed envelopes and cash and all the villas in Italy and all this, they're not in this, right? That's all, the reality's away. According to the official statistics, President Zelensky has declared a fourfold increase in his income in the year 2022, which obviously, just to wheel back a bit, there was a war, an invasion that happened in the end of February of 2022, and the last 2 years have been very hard on the country but it's not been that hard on everybody, right? He's the Reuters, you know, you can see that they're, you know, when Magda isn't the only ones left holding a giant turd on this one, Steve, because you can see how Reuters are trying to play this down and saying, oh, it's a improved rent collection and the sale of some government bonds. I've never seen from the journalistic profession in my life such a manifest lack of curiosity in this story. But I wanted to break this down for the posse, okay, and just have a look at exactly what this fourfold increase represents in reality. And in reality, the average salary in Ukraine is 7,500 euro equivalent per year. And basically what it's done is his income has jumped from 12 times the national average salary to 41 times. And this is according to the official statistics. His salary, President Zelensky, the second coming of Winston Churchill, that pioneer of anti-corruption, his salary, and this is the official statistics, right? It has jumped from 12 times the average salary to 41 times the average salary in the midst of a war. So that might explain perhaps some of the background that we were talking about yesterday on the show about, you know, his releasing interviews to the Langley Bugle, his pressuring Braveheart and to come up with more cash. It's him and his oligarchs are dependent on this, like a nest full of tiny birdlings waiting for their mother to come back and drop the booty in the beaks. This is what is happening in Ukraine. And as you said in your introduction, whilst they are pressurizing American taxpayers to cough up, they are scaling back their own commitments to this war, because as General Zelensky has indicated, they're no longer going to be pushing for the 500,000, which the war room has been saying for the last 3 months was never going to happen anyway. So I will just close with this reflection. President Zelensky, in the year 2022, when his country was being bombarded, his young men and young women being fed off to the meat grinder, he has witnessed himself, and these are his own official statistics, has witnessed a fourfold increase in his personal income, taking it up to 41 times the national average.
Ben, has anybody in the, because you've seen a sea change over there now as reality sets in, is anybody, because the Langley Bugle, which is our is how we identify the Washington Post, because they just print everything that comes out of the CIA out there in Langley, Virginia, Northern Virginia, by McLean. His interview, he went through a mantra, right? He went through a mantra of all the weapon systems the money's going to go for, to put money in the pocket of people in Huntsville, Alabama, and through Mississippi and Kentucky, all over. You know, the whole American South is chock-a-block. And some of the Midwest, but particularly the American South, chock-a-block with arms makers or with weapons makers. This is one of the reasons that you have these super MAGA territories represented by congressmen who are part of the cardinals of the appropriations process or on the Armed Services Committee and really hate Trump and are all neocons and vote for neocon policies. But when I look at the media and I talk to my sources over there, I get a sense in the capitals of Europe. And correct me if I'm wrong, they've come to the conclusion that this war right now is unwinnable and they're playing with fire because if they don't get some sort of solution quickly, that Russia could have the spring offensive could go in reverse and Kiev could actually fall. So, and that's when we're going to really have some danger. That's why you got to sort that. You can't, waiting for Trump in January 2025 is too late. We have to get we have to have something happen now. Is that your sense about what the Europeans are thinking about, that this game is up and they're not putting really any more cash in it if the Americans are dumb enough to do it because of in McConnell? McConnell just announced he's not leaving for 2 years because the reason he's not leaving, he's going to fight for the neocon positions, particularly Ukraine. That's what McConnell said. He's sticking around for 2 years. He barely knows what time of day it is. But there's an obsession. There's a weird fetish and obsession in the imperial capital for Ukraine. Your thoughts about Europe?
Well, to answer the end part of your question first, there is something that's going to take place in Europe that will, I think, be will have a massive impact on the West's support of Ukraine before November, and this is the June European elections. Now, there's an interesting article here in the New York Times headlined, "Angry Farmers Are Reshaping Europe." Farm protests are changing not only Europe's food system, but also its politics as the far right senses an opportunity. Now, I don't want to dig into the article too much, but there is, in a single line, probably the best analysis in a single sentence I have ever read in the New York Times. And it's basically this, in a few words. It's the end of the world versus the end of the month. This is this is a distillation. It's attributed here to the France's largest farmers' union. And that is analysing why the farmers are going on these protest marches, why they know that they are one of the reasons. It's not just environmental concern. There's explicitly a reference here to competition coming in from the unregulated East, which is obviously Ukraine. And that is only going to magnify if Ukraine ever joins the European Union, which I doubt it will do. And the distillation of what I said here, this one of the best analysis throwaway lines I've ever read, it's basically saying here that the farmers here, they are being presented by their elites, by their European elites, as if we have to fight Putin because he represents the end of the world. And the reason the farmers are going on these protest marches, which the mainstream media is smearing, as it did in the headline, as being being tinged with the far right, the farmers' union says it's the end of the world versus the end of the month. That is the reality and the decision that farmers are faced with, that they cannot arrive at the end of the month. So talking about the end of the world is meaningless to them. That's the point here, Steve. And what strikes me is that the disillusionment, Steve, I close with this point, the disillusionment here with European farmers is exactly the same in America. It is exactly the same disconnect between the elites and the people. They're being bombarded over the head by the mainstream media and by the left and by the globalists and by the Uniparty. You see this in the 60 billion, talking about Putin representing the end of the world, and people cannot arrive at the end of the month. That is the distinction. And I think that is as a throwaway line, it is superb analysis, even if it was inadvertent from the New York Times.
Sometimes they get it right despite themselves. This is why we're covering Europe so intensely now, not about Ukraine, how it affects domestic politics here, but also for the European parliamentary elections coming up in June. I believe that's going to be like Brexit was in 16, as kind of a predicate to what happens here. Also, in this times of turbulence, you know, gold is always at all-time highs. It seems like every couple of days. It's because of turbulence. It's because of uncertainty. It's because of the de-dollarization movement. So much of that ties to what's happening in Ukraine. We give you the macro every day, but it's Birch Gold that gives you the micro. Now more than they've got all kind of tax-free ways to roll your IRA or 401k. They've got all the details. So make sure, but you have access to the senior guys. So go to birchgold.com/Bannon, get all the information on the site, get the end of the dollar empire. I'm coming out with the fifth, I'm proofing the fifth edition, the fifth free installment on central bank digital currency. Why our Fed is, Ben Harnwell gave a great rip on the Fed on the morning show today. This is about the Fed and the central bank digital currency and all the other central banks in the world, including the Chinese buying gold at record rates. So go to birchgold.com/Bannon and check it out today. Times of turbulence, 8,000 years, gold's been a hedge. Them's the facts. Find out why it should be in part of your financial planning. Do it today. Ben, hang on. I want you to hang on with me because I know this is dear to your heart. You know, we started with that scene from Braveheart because Polly Pocket thinks he's a warrior poet like William Wallace. A nation that's always punched way above their weight. One of the great books out there is how Scotland invented the modern world. Well, with the rise of the right, something's happening in Scotland is quite serious. Peter McIlvaney joins us. Tell me, you got a couple of minutes here, Peter, and we're going to bounce, bring you back. But these hate speech laws, what the hell is going on in Scotland?
Well, it's great to be with you at the home of the hard right. And it's the hate crime and public order bill has just passed on April the 1st. No, it's not actually an April the 1st joke. Actually, it is true. And it is the biggest clampdown on speech in Scotland, probably across Europe. And this bill has been pushed by the Scottish National Party, who aren't really a nationalist party, but basically have bought into the full woke agenda, with Yousef Humza being the leader of the SNP, Scottish National Party. And he has forced this through. Actually, it wasn't really forced through. That's the frightening thing in Scotland. There are about 120 or so members of the Scottish Parliament, and this was pushed through with about 85-25, something like that. So it was certainly a three-quarters majority by far. And this was pushed through, and this will bring in a new crime of stirring up hatred relating to age, disability, religion, sexual orientation, transgender identity, or being intersex. And although there was legislation on the books, and there has been since 1986, actually, in the UK, Scotland have brought this in to push this forward, to make it much stronger. And actually, a person convicted of this crime could face a maximum sentence of 7 years behind bars.
Unbelievable. Hang on for one second. Peter McElvain joins us from England, Ben Harnwell from Rome. We're going to stick around. This is a shocking law, particularly for people that have been so smart about the modern world as the Scottish. Short commercial break, back in a moment. The so-called financial experts thought we were in the clear. They were anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year, and then the inflation data came out, higher than expected. Friends, this isn't going away. It can't. The U.S. is $34 trillion plus in the hole, and yet we keep printing money, which pushes the prices you pay every day even higher. So you can either bury your head in the sand or you can do something about it. Diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold is your hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold makes it easy to own. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you don't pay a penny out of pocket. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. Then talk to a precious metals specialist on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898. Do it today. Action, action, action. Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers and you don't. You'll pay up plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on. Grind you for all your back taxes, plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today.
this IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
Are you tired of progressive corporations and exhausted trying to keep up with all the virtue signaling when you're simply trying to buy products? Progressive corporate America continues to push messaging that further alienates conservative Americans, all while eroding the future of the American dream. It's prominent all over the country. Companies like Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion. Financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views. Makeup companies like Maybelline making a mockery of women by supporting transgender models. And beer companies like Bud Light forcing gender ideology on you when all you want is to enjoy a cold beer. Thankfully, we don't have to fund these companies any longer with our hard-earned dollars. With Public Square, we now have a solution. It's simple. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.com. That's publicsq.com. Public Square is an app and website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Whether you're looking to buy coffee, find a new athletic clothing that knows what a woman is, and shop for clean skincare, or simply find a new restaurant in your community that won't lecture you about your political views, publicsq.com is your resource. Public Square also offers discounts to many high-quality businesses on the platform so that you can actually receive incentive for spending money with companies that don't hate you. Public Square is free to join as a consumer or a business owner, and you can get started today at publicsq.com. Remember, either as a consumer or a business owner, download the app now. That's publicsq.com, publicsq.com.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room Battleground with Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, one of the greatest films ever about the fight for freedom in a country that, like I said, has punched much above their weight. You could argue they created the modern world. Their understanding of physics and chemistry and the practical world, precision engineering. It's an amazing country with amazing people. Really, I absolutely love Scotland. I've had the opportunity to spend some time there around the Open Championships, but man, it is an extraordinary country, and it is shocking what's going on. So, Peter, I want to go back and start. I want to give the name of this bill. I want to give the majority was passed by the Scottish Parliament, and I want to give the details again on what it entails. Because, folks, the reason I'm having McElvanna do this, and Harn will hang around. This is coming to a state, a city, and a nation called the United States of America. Some of these major cities and states that are controlled by these radical Democrats. You're going to see something like this in California, and you're going to see if Biden and these radicals win and they take the House, they take the Senate, don't sit there and laugh and think this is not coming. They already tried this. Remember the billboards in the first part of early 21 when Trump was down in Mar-a-Lago? They put the billboards up like the Stasi. If you see anything, you know, these insurrectionists say it when you were debanked and deplatformed. You know, all of us were deplatformed. This is coming to you. This is as relevant to you right now as anything that's happening in the Trump movement. So take it from the top, Peter. Take your time and walk us through this.
So this is the Hate Crime and Public Order Scotland Bill passed on the 23rd of April 2021. And it was passed by 82 against 32. So it was a massive majority. It wasn't just the Scottish Nationalist Party, but actually it was Labour, because the Conservatives have more or less abandoned Scotland, as they have abandoned London, and are left guarding the Shires. But that's a whole other story. So this was passed with a massive majority. And it's been a lot of concern from free speech advocates, from comedians, from sports stars. Across the board, you've got people crying out and saying, this is utter madness. And it seems to be, I mean, every European country seems to be trying to outdo the other one for a bigger restriction on free speech. And Scotland at the moment holds the current award, the current medal for actually having the biggest degradation of free speech across Europe. So this literally went into force yesterday on the 1st. And the issue with legislation passes, but then it is up to the law enforcement, to the police, to actually police it. And no one is yet sure what will happen or how the police will police this, because the police are very busy at the moment policing tweets. God forbid they would actually arrest someone on a charge of rape or burglary or murder. I think our rape conviction is about 1.5% of allegations actually end up in the conviction. So the police, by and large, across not only Scotland, but the whole of the UK, have abandoned actually arresting and trying criminals for offences. So they go for hate speech. And this has been a big thing. Actually, it was Margaret Thatcher who first brought in, I think it was 1986, the first restrictions on what you can say and whether it would cause offence. But this, in Scotland, 2021, came into legislation yesterday. And it's interesting how this will play out. I've seen a lot of posts online of individuals contacting the police for historic comments. So the actual First Minister of Scotland, Yusuf Hamza, he made a speech attacking all the white people in government in Scotland. Now, Scotland is a white country. It's like being in an African country and complaining about all the black individuals who have those leadership positions. We have different demographics in nations the world over. But he made a speech attacking all the white people in charge of those positions. And I know many, many hundreds of people have phoned up the police to complain about that, because really that would fall under this current legislation. So this is going to be something that comes back and haunts the SNP.
What is, talk to me about the author, Harry Potter's author. Is it J.K.
J.K. Rowling.
Yes. Talk to me.
Yeah.
Rowling, talk about, she's been pretty defiant. She talks about the transgender ideology, but she's not backing down. She, in fact, she's daring them to arrest her.
She's phenomenal. And she, as an author, as someone from a very working class background, and obviously found superstar status as the writer of the Harry Potter novels, she moved to Scotland. I think 1993 she moved to Scotland, so she's not born in Scotland. She moved there and she entered this debate, the trans debate, in I think it was 2019. And she supported a researcher who was sacked after tweeting that transgender people cannot change their biological sex. This is a fact of nature, of biological nature. And she went into this debate to say, no, transgender people cannot change their biological sex. And then in 2020, she criticized the term people who menstruate. And she wrote that this was women. This was not people who menstruate, this was women. And she's entered into this debate massively since 2019 and been rejected by all of the stars that she made in the Harry Potter series. So the Daniel Radcliffe's, who was Harry Potter, and all the rest of the Emma Watson, who was Hermione, and all the other individuals who have made their names and their money off the back of her, have turned on her and said, how dare people can be whatever they want over their breakfast cereal and change as many times as they want. So she was against the gender recognition bill from Scotland, which basically gave people the right to choose their gender over their bowl of cereal every single morning. They didn't have to go and see a doctor. They could just wake up and decide on whatever whim they were a different gender that day. And she fought that. And she has challenged the police. She has said, come and arrest me. This is utter nonsense. And she has misgendered many individuals by saying, well, you're born a woman, there you are a woman. Or you're born a man, so you are a man. You can't just change that. And she has challenged police. And I believe maybe an hour ago, the Scottish police have now come out and said they will not be pursuing that. But she's not going to give up. She's going to force this issue because she believes passionately that women should have the right to be women. And what women have fought for, those rights and freedoms and privileges, men do not get the right to declare, I'm a woman, and therefore infringe that space. There are distinctions, and men are men, women are women. And she is a fantastic advocate to this absolute madness that we are seeing. But part of this legislation says what is reasonably accepted. And Steve, what is reasonable today? If a reasonable assessment is that you can just change your gender over breakfast, then what is reasonable? So reason no longer comes into play in this whole debate. And the bar is now so low that it's not just whether you intend to cause hatred, it's whether it could reasonably be construed as causing hatred, and the bar is much lower. So someone somewhere can complain about anything, and therefore the police must investigate. And I think the police need to get back to investigating real crimes instead of comments on Twitter.
Ben, I want to bring you in here because I've been doing some British media recently, and I used the term illegal alien invader. And the host is like, and I had to tell him, whoa, 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 that's actually the illegal alien part, which they were most concerned about. I said, that's actually the legal term for people that come into our country without the official process, which he didn't know. But you can tell they're so jiggy anytime they have myself on or other people that are truth tellers and going to talk truth to power. In the United Kingdom, when I look down in around Parliament and I see these protests of the pro-Palestinian movement, it gets quite hateful. The mosque in the Midlands and in London, they get quite worked up and quite hateful. On the war in Gaza, on the Israelis, on Jews in London. How do you square it? How do you have this now? Because England is only one or two slight notches down from what Scotland did. And there's members of the Tory party, members of the Labour party, and I think some of the Tories that go along with them, that would love to have a hate speech and public order bill passed in England. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, Steve, anyone who checks my Getter feed will know that I never use the term illegal invader. It's illegal third world invader with the word invader in capitals. And if you don't like that UK constabulary, try and arrest me the next time I enter the UK. This is terrifying. And it's not just terrifying for all the normal reasons that it would be terrifying if a country was trying to use the law to force things which are almost 20 years ago would have been the literal definition of insanity, and to use the law to punish anyone who speaks out against that. Like to say that we all remember Klinger from MASH, right, who's tried to demonstrate that he was crazy by dressing as a woman. And, of course, that was a perfectly feasible plot device in the 70s and 80s. Now that's not just hate speech now. If you say, hang on, that this guy hasn't changed sex. This is beyond that. This is now using the full force of the law to put you in prison. Now, so that it's not just that concerns me. It's the relevance here from the Christian perspective. On the morning show, we were talking about. We're talking about why in MSNBC couldn't quite understand why the MAGA movement now is adding into its component this religious dimension under the wider bracket of Christian nationalism. They couldn't understand why, you know, you had the altar call phenomenon at the Trump rallies. And the reason is, Steve, it's because believing Christians can see the presence of the Antichrist behind these movements. I'll say this, right? You see the hysteria with regards to the Trump Bible, right? On MSNBC, on CNN, the expression "God bless America" has now become, in their imagination, in their paranoid, feverish imagination, it's now become a mantra, a political expression of white supremacy. This is how far they have gone. God bless America, for them, is now beyond the pale. And they are using the full force of the law. They might just be using it on the gender thing now. But there are phrases in the Bible, in the New Testament, that you literally will not be able to say in a public place. Peter, I'm sure, will be able to cite in the UK how evangelicals, when they are preaching, doing street corner preaching and witnessing in the UK, are being arrested by the police. And then, of course, they just sort of let go after an hour or two. With these developments of law, the days when in the West, when Christians are going to be thrown in to jail for their fidelity to Jesus Christ and His holy gospel, these days, this is within our lifetime now, right? This isn't something that you might conjecture for a dystopian future. This is going to be in our lifetimes. We're going to see this. We'll see it in Scotland. We'll see it in England. We'll see it in the United States as well.
I want to go, Peter, because I think the shocking thing, and you see it's happening in Ireland. Ireland's coming up with hate speech like this too. But how did Scotland, which has always punched above their weight, is beloved by America, right? Donald Trump's from Scotland, but you always have, you know, commercials and go back to the Scottish. Obviously, golf is very popular here, particularly among a certain segment in the golf in Scotland, not just the Open Championship, but other is closely monitored. People travel there all the time on vacation. This is not a Central American dictatorship. This is not a Latin American dictatorship that has a history of this type of stuff. This is not something in sub-Saharan Africa or the Middle East or parts of Asia. This is not China. This is Scotland. How did this pass? And it seemed like with very little debate, and overwhelmingly, you said 85-25. That's what's so shocking about this, how draconian this is and how it passed in a nation that doesn't have a history. It's been fighting for freedom against the British and everybody else for centuries. It doesn't have a authoritarian or dictatorship mentality. How in the hell did this happen?
Well, I get boiled down to the traditional Christian view in many countries that actually the government are good and they're to care for you and the institutions are built on a positive ethos, originally a biblical ethos, in our education, our health, and our government. And people still, I think, believe that. And we are seeing a massive change in governments, not only on the left, but on the right, adopting a woke agenda, out of fear, and two, out of not wanting to be ridiculed, but actually out of a position of not having any Christian ethos or base or anchor any longer. And into that vacuum will come anything else. And I agree with Ben 100% that this is pure satanic, that enters into that void and provides a focus, a reason, a guide star for people, and it is the woke agenda. And that agenda says anything goes. So our politicians have bought into that. The other side is actually, as people are tribal in the UK, they vote Labour, Conservative, they vote blue, red, and you can put any candidate you want. As long as it has a rosette, then they will vote for that. And I think that our politicians, for some reason, have taken massive advantage of this and abandoned the traditional elements of the Labour working class and the Conservative conserving a culture, have abandoned that and have adopted this woke agenda. I think part of it is of fear. Politicians seem to be little pygmies that are afraid of any opposition or criticism, and have adopted this mentality and therefore have allowed these groups to come in and push. So in Scotland this weekend, just the icing on the cake, we have a football match, Rangers against Celtic. Rangers are a Protestant team, Celtic are a Catholic team. It is the most sectarian football you will ever see anywhere. And there, this has been massively heated over the many, many, many decades. And it is called an Old Firm Derby. It's a football match between two of the same city. And Rangers and Celtic will come together. And Ali McCoist, who's the manager of Rangers and a football legend in Scotland, it said police will need to arrest him and 48,000 Rangers fans if they are to enforce Scotland's crazy new hate crime laws. So he is challenging 48,000 in his stadium to chant something that will mean the police need to arrest them. This is two fingers to the establishment, and I love it.
That's fabulous. Peter, this is fantastic. We'll spend more time on this. What? How do people get to you? The great show. We stream it on Getter. Proudly streaming. Got a huge audience now. Where do people get to you?
So it's at Hearts of Oak UK on Twitter and at Hearts of Oak everywhere else. We have Naomi Wolf with us on Thursday, going through her many cooking shows on how we can take control of our immune system and our health system once again. So it's Monday, Thursday and Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. UK, streaming on War Room, Rumble and Getter also.
Yeah, we love it. Our audience loves it. Thanks, Peter. We're going to stay on top of this. Very disturbing. Very disturbing.
Thanks, Steve.
Particularly given the source of this is the is Scotland. Talking about medical, Naomi's going to be on Hearts of Oak on Thursday. We'll be putting it up on my personal account. We put it up on Getter also on the War Room account. Make sure Jace Medical, the guys at Jace during the pandemic read Rosemary Gibson's book and said, hey, this complete supply chain is controlled by China. That can't be good, the CCP. But also with all the cyber attacks on United Health and all the pharmacies down, you don't have time to mess around with your medicines. You need to have them. The guys at Jace Medical, because they got state-by-state representatives and doctors with telemedicine, go there today, jacemedical.com, and make sure you're not caught on the short end. Remember, we need you at the ramparts. We don't need you worrying about where your medicines are, where you're going to get them. jacemedical.com, guarantee that you get them. Ben, incredible. We're going to have you back on. I can tell you, brother, this Ukraine thing is going to heat up. But I am gobsmacked. We've got about a minute. I'm gobsmacked on this Scotland thing. This is incredibly disturbing. Your closing thoughts, sir?
10 years ago, the Cardinal of Chicago, Cardinal George, Francis George, died. He was famous for an expression. I think it was a throwaway line he gave, but he'll be remembered for that. He said, I expect to die in my bed. My successor will die in prison. His successor will die martyred in the public square. And everything that happens, you know, bit by bit, year by year, it looks as if that was prophecy. You can actually see that start, you know, that persecution in reality, a red persecution, a blood persecution, taking shape here in the West, in Christendom, Steve. Those are my final thoughts, folks. If you want to catch up with me, I have a fantastic post at the top of my feed right now. You can find me on Getter at Harnwell, which is simply my surname, at Harnwell on Getter. Thanks, Steve. Thanks very much for having me on the show today. God bless.
Thank you. Okay, brother. Thank you. Fantastic day. By the way, want to make sure that we're always here about your health. Sacred Human Health. Go there, sacredhumanhealth.com. Grass-fed beef livers. The people taking it are going absolutely crazy about it. Love it. Also, get your coffee. Warpath Coffee, warpath.coffee/warm, get your discount. The dark roast is the best ever made, the dark roast. Okay, Lou Dobbs is next. We're back at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. We will be, I commit to you, on fire in the war room.
True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
War Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.